The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Yeah, don't it sound so epic? Horns are screaming, I ain't the one you want to mess with. Use a joke, I ain't the one you want to jest with. The battle's coming, you only got a few seconds to run. Yeah.
All right, so we are back. Matt Minix, Bengals Chalk Talk here on Orange and Black Insider, brought to you by Cincy Jungle. I'm Matt Minix. I want to talk a little bit about this defense because I think they did some really interesting things defensively and got a lot better throughout the year. And they ran a lot of different types of fronts. I hear people referring to it as a 3-4. I think it's more of a an under front, truly, although we do see a little bit of a zero technique. But yeah, they're very versatile in what they're doing, and they're asking a lot of a lot of different players. So just a few things to start off with, just to make sure everybody's on the same page and I'm not getting too jargony or anything like that. I'm going to talk about defensive line techniques. Now, I'm currently reading Wade Phillips' book, Son of Bum. And I didn't realize that Bum Phillips is actually the person who created the numbering system that's commonly used to name to point out the locations of the techniques of defensive linemen. So it's actually Bum Phillips who popularized this. Bear Bryant took it from him when they worked together at College Station, and it kind of took off from there, as a lot of things do when a guy like Bear Bryant gets his hands on it. So just to start off with, the basics, if a defensive lineman is head up, that's an even number, all right? So right here, and I talk about using personnel, interestingly, this is Sam Hubbard. He is actually lined up as what we would generally most people refer to as the nose tackle. He's in a zero technique, head up on the center. All right. Now, if you're head up on the guard, that would be a two technique. If you're head up on the tackle, that would be a four technique. I'm going to leave the tight ends out of this because people kind of vary a little bit how they do. Some people skip some numbers out there. They do some weird things. I'm just going to leave that out of it just to not cause confusion. But all right. So here we have it'd be a zero. All right. On the guard, it's a two. On the tackle, it's a four. Now, if you're lined up outside shade, probably heard that term, outside shade of a player, that is an odd number. All right. So we have a zero head up on the center. We'd have a one just outside of the center to either side. It could be a weak one or a strong one. A two head up on the guard. A three technique. All right. That's a common alignment in the 3-4 defense. A three technique. Just outside, outside shoulder of the guard, a four technique on the tackle, and a five technique outside shoulder of the tackle. Now, if it is inside, if he's lined up on the inside shoulder, we take the even number and then we put an I on it. Okay. So obviously that doesn't make any sense with the center. All right. But if you're lined up inside shade of the guard, that will be a two I. All right. Inside shade of the tackle, that will be a four I. All right, so going from inside out, we'd have a zero, a one, all right, zero head up on the center, one technique to either shade, really, of the center. Inside shade of the guard is a 2-I, head up on the guard is a two, outside shade of the guard is a three tech, Inside shear to the tackle is a 4-eye. Head up on the tackle is a 4 technique. And outside of the tackle is a 5 technique. All right, and then we get into 7, 8, 9 and all that type of stuff as guys line up wider, as you involve a tight end, things along those lines. Like I said, I want to get involved in that because I've met different people that kind of term things differently out there. Some people are skipping 6, some people are, you know. So we're just going to avoid that because isn't that really too important to what today's conversation is going to be? So I'm going to look at some of the odd fronts. All right. Again, people are saying, oh, it's a 3-4. People are saying it's a 52. I think 52 is a little bit closer because what I think they're running a lot of the time is what we would term an under front. And we'll get into that in just a second. This isn't a great example because this guy is actually in a 0 technique. Hubbard is in this look. But we'll get into that in just a second. So taking a look right here, all right, again, it looks like a 5-man front. You've got Nick Vigil out on the outside standing up, all right? So he's outside wide standing up, but walked up to the line of scrimmage, all right? And again, that's something you see in a 3-4. Carlos Dunlap has actually kicked inside, all right? So, I mean, I would say Carlos Dunlap is really in a 3 technique here on the guard. We've got Sam Hubbard, unusual position for him in a 0 technique. So putting some speed there, trying to utilize his speed inside. And on the other 3 tech, actually 4-eye, all right? Gino's a little bit wider than Carlos is on the other side. Gino's in a 4-eye here inside of the tackle. And then on the outside, we've got Carl Lawson, all right? So what does this really do here? All right, so this is essentially like a bear front, all right, which, again, this is not exact, but anything where we have a 0 and 2 3s or 2 guys in the B gaps, it's pretty close to a bear front. So right here, normally you think of this being a big guy who's not going to get moved and who can kind of occupy both gaps. That's not really going to be Hubbard's jam. All right. Now this is a 3rd and 8 play, so they're not super concerned about gaps. And obviously they're dropping Hubbard off here. All right. But this is more to utilize his speed. All right. But we've got guys in the B gaps. We've got guys on the edges. So really the only open gap here, if they were, you know, deciding that they were going to, if they're worried about the run, they would have Hubbard playing responsible for one of these gaps. And then one of these safeties who are basically down in the box would have to be responsible for the other gap. All right. So that's where the open gap's at on this. But really in this look, it's just a way of getting into a tray front. All right. Tray front is what we would call it when there's nobody in the A gaps. It allows for a lot of different stunts, kind of evens up things a little bit. Now they end up only sending 3 because Vigil is a linebacker and Vigil's going to drop off. Hubbard, is essentially a linebacker a lot of the times in this defense as well. And he's going to drop off into the zone too. So 3rd and 8, and they actually get a completion here out to Harry and are able to move the sticks on that one. All right, so the next play we're going to go to, the very next play, and we'll go right into the tight film, okay? Hey, again, a couple other things I'm just going to point out here. So I'm skipping around. I decided to use this Patriots game because it's an opponent that I'm pretty familiar with because I live in the region, and it's somebody who's, known for being able to run the ball a little bit. That was a good film to look at. But I'm also just going to point out that we are really going to look at the 2nd quarter and the 4th quarter, and the reason is, in my humble opinion, the best way to look at tight film is what I would term the butt shot, right? I want to be behind the defense when I'm looking at defensive film. Same thing, if I was looking at the offensive line, I'd look at the other quarters because I'd want to be behind the offensive line. Obviously, you watch all the film, but I think for demonstration purposes for teaching, I think a lot of the times it's better to have that butt shot. It just makes things a little bit easier to understand. So this is an under front, truly. And an under front is, it's a Monty Kiffin thing, okay? So basically, over is how you would really expect a 3-4, a 4-3 defense to align. You've got a 4-3 defense defining characteristic is that you have a three technique and a one technique, all right? Or it could be a two moving around. But basically, you have one defensive tackle who is playing an A gap, one defensive tackle who is playing a B gap. So over is what you would generally expect, but kind of makes the most sense. You know, if you only have four down guys, is, hey, put that three technique to the strong side because they've got more width over there. They've got that tight end over there. You know, they've got more gaps. That's what makes the most sense. Under is the opposite of that, all right, where you roll down a linebacker to that side. So you have three down linemen, essentially, and you have the A-gap defender to that strong side. So this is what I would call an under front. And to me, and I've been talking about how Sam Hubbard is an outside linebacker, because to me, Sam Hubbard is the Sam linebacker in an under front in this look, walk down outside of the tight end here. All right. So we've got Hubbard walk down. Again, he's walked down to the strong side as the extra guy. All right. And as you can see, we've got Tupou out wide here. He is lined up inside of the tackle. So what do we call that? We call that a 4-I, all right? And we've got a 1 technique. We've got a 3 technique on the weak side, all right? And we've got Carl Lawson also standing up, and he's going to be that 5 technique outside of the tight end on that, or excuse me, the tackle on that side. So really, to me, this is more of an under front. So let's just kind of look at it right now before anybody moves, before anything goes. All right, we've got Hubbard here. All right, we've got Hubbard outside of the tight end. We've got a B gap defender at Tupou. We've got an A gap defender. All right, now again, this is a little funky because a lot of times we're going to put this guy out here and under front. But again, I'm just kind of getting into the basics. So, where do we have gaps? All right, it's really just that C gap between the tackle and the tight end. That's all that's open there. All right, now on the weak side, nobody in the A-gap, right? We've got a B-gap defender. We've got a wide defender. We don't have anybody in the A-gap, all right? So those are your open gaps. Those are the gaps that really the linebackers, if there wasn't a stunt going on here, would be thinking about. So you'd have Pratt, all right? He's got to play this gap right away, all right? And you'd have Vigil. He's probably got to play this gap right away just because of how wide Pratt is aligned. You probably want to have him in that. So, all right. So we'll take a look here. Now, this is actually something I would call spear. I believe that's Monty Kiffin's terminology for it, where you send both the Sam linebacker and the strong safety, Sean Williams here, off the edge. All right. So it's under spear, sending those guys on that blitz. All right. And that's actually, you know, I had played it too far. Remember I was saying that it was a little weird for Tupou to be in the gap. All right, he cheated pre-snap to get into that gap to make sure he got where he was supposed to be. So you can see he was originally lined up in the C gap, so the B gap was open. Boom, now he steps into that B gap. All right, and then you're gonna get a cross face from the nose tackle as well. So that's basically what we would call under spear. That's a zone blitz concept, a Monty Kiffin concept there from the under front. And you know, they have some success with it here. So really it's a run stop, you know, it's a run blitz, and they give up a yard on it. All right. So they stuff that thing up there pretty well. Vigil does a pretty decent job getting in there and getting involved. So we're going to go a little bit later in the quarter, and let me find where I want to be. So, this is going to be a first and 10 play to start off the drive. And we're going to see another under look. All right. So again, what do we got? To the strong side, to the tight end side, Hubbard has walked down. All right. Hubbard's walked down here. Now they've got an extra body out here. They've got like a wing guy out here. But he's walked down out there. So better make sure we have something strong to the outside edge there as well. Tupou. I would call that a pretty heavy 5. I wouldn't call that a 4. I could see where you would call it a 4, but I think he's responsible for this gap right here without going too forward in the play. You got Billings in the 1 technique. And then on the backside, you've got Dunlap, and I believe that's Gino. Yep, Sure is. All right. Right there. So Gino in the three, Dunlap. Now Dunlap standing up on the edge there as well. All right. So again, where are the gaps? All right. And that's what you want to think about when you're looking at a linebacker play. So if there's no movement, we got an A gap here. Now, remember I said before that because Pratt was so wide, Vigil was going to have to play that, but I didn't really like that because I wanted Vigil to be free on the outside. Now Pratt's more to the inside. All right. So probably not a stunt here, right? Pratt had to be there for the stunt previously. So now Pratt's in a better position where he can really play, all right, with action this way. He can get in the A-gap right now. With action to the strong side, all right, he can get into the B-gap right now. Again, this is a heavy technique, all right? We've got these two gaps covered. We're going to need somebody here helping Hubbard on the outside, but boom, all right? So that's what really a Mike linebacker, the most basic idea of what a Mike linebacker should be is A gap, B gap. All right. Be able to fill fast, play fast. All right. So let's see. All right. So this is pretty, pretty standard. We're not really getting any kind of movement in the front. All right. All right. So Pratt flows through the pretty well. We got BW Webb coming up for really because there's an extra gap there. He's playing the outside. And Webb, I mean, you know, that's pretty good job taking on the lineman for a DB like Webb. Setting that edge, forcing it to cut back. All right. We got Pratt scraping. And Pratt is eventually going to be able to get in there and get involved. All right. It's going to be a 6-yard pickup, though. I would like to see him backdoored if there's a possibility of that anywhere. Which, you know, that guy kind of chopped his feet for a second. I think Pratt could have... boom, use some speed and kind of gotten behind it there. But you got to know yourself. You got to be able to, be safe with things sometimes as well. But we need to, see him getting off that block a little bit faster and getting a little bit more involved. Excellent job, really, by Webb. I also like to look at Hubbard here, too, because he's taking that thing on. He's helping to string it off, right? And he's, eventually getting off that block too. A little bit faster off that block, but I like the way he's holding his ground and getting involved there. So not too bad overall. All right, so I definitely think there's some interesting things in this defense. And I know people aren't – look, it wasn't a good year defensively, but I think there's some interesting things going on. And we did see more success as the year went on. So, we'll see. I think there's some definitely some positives here. So we'll take a look here. This is another under front. Things are a little bit tighter here. All right. Again, Hubbard's walked down. He's kind of, I would say he's outside the tight end, but he's pretty heavy on him. I kind of had a conversation with another coach on Twitter recently about my use of the term heavy. I think it's just something I say. It's something that one of the people I learned from said, not necessarily a standard, but when I say heavy, I mean, it's a shade, but it's barely a shade. Like he's almost head up. So I would say he's playing pretty heavy on the outside there. So again, we got Tupou, we got Billings. It looks like we got Gino and Dunlap on the back side. So Gino and Dunlap on the same side with the three technique and the five standing up out there. All right. So what do we got here? All right. So Billings taking on the double team block. All right. Really, he's kind of getting pushed back. Now you got Pratt looking to fill, which is good. Now Pratt is filling, and this is an ISO play. All right. He's filling to the outside shoulder of a Landon Roberts. Why is he doing that? He's doing that because he knows he's got Vigil coming as well. So Vigil kind of gets himself into this gap, this A gap, this backside cutback gap a little fast, and that gets him blocked. All right. Now, if this thing cuts back, he's right where he wants to be. But really, because there's a fullback involved, there's another gap. And Pratt's expecting Vigil to come on the inside of that. Now, there isn't a gap because Billings is holding his ground there. All right. This is what a nose tackle should do. Even though he's getting double teamed, he's not getting moved. That's just something with Vigil. It can be a little bit kind of actually slower to play this. Because yes, he's got to have that gap if it cuts back, but he's also got to have this. See, it's right there just for a second. There's a thin little spot right there, and then it fills up. All right. Now they end up getting 4 yards on this. All right, running into a mess, and he's just kind of manages to squeak out and gain a couple yards on that. Unfortunately. All right, so we are going to go skip the next play, stay in this drive, though, and we're going to see another under front. Okay, again, we got two stand-up guys, really. All right, so he's standing up the outside here. He's standing up. He's kind of squaring himself up to take on a block from the tight end there. We have got a, again, I would say heavy five. All right, you can call that a four if you want. I'm not going to fight you on it. We've got a shade or a one here. All right, that's kind of short term. People just call it a shade. Shade three technique. The three technique is Geno. All right, and we've got Dunlap standing up. All right, so again, you know, think about where the open gaps are. All right, Vigil really ends up being like the Mike linebacker here who's got the B gap. He's got the A gap. All right, and Pratt, you know, Pratt's the more free guy who's going to be filling the backside of these gaps. And he's playing on the weak side here. He's got a little bit more of an ability to flow here, all right, and help out with the outside run. So it's going to be a weak side run, all right? Now, look, we get a double team, all right? Actually, we get a motion here. So let's start with that. So we get a motion. So that gets Dunlap out wider and really creates another gap because we get a motion, all right? They're getting a double team there on Geno. Pratt is filling the new gap that has been created. All right. They get a pull coming around. And it's going to kick out on Pratt. Okay. So he's causing some mischief in the backfield here. All right. That's where, you know, that's where you're going to want Pratt on this look with the play coming to him. Vigil, I'd like to see Vigil going a little bit faster. All right. Where's this double team on Geno want to go? Okay. And I refer to combos as double teams. All right. That's, again, just kind of the way I was taught. All right, so you got down doubles and you got zone doubles. This is a down double, all right, because it's a power play. It's a down scheme play. So these guys are down blocking and looking to double off and get up to Vigil, all right? So he scrapes over, and he gets picked up by one of these guys. And he gets pushed back a little bit and eventually dives at the feet, trips him up a little bit, all right? But look, hey, I want him to feel fast here. I'd like to see Vigil, boom, getting in that gap. Motion, right? Boom. Try and get in right there. Get skinny through there and maybe make a play in the backfield on that one. Now, essentially, it's the same thing, though, like we were talking about previously with Pratt, all right? So you can take that, and if you're fast, you can take it, all right? But you got to be aware of this gap and of the pull and the fact that the pull is going to really create another gap. So that's what he's doing. He's doing what I was telling you Pratt should do in the last one and kind of trying to scrape over, but that's getting him picked up. So he needs to use his hands, get off that block. Again, there's kind of some different ways to do things. All the backdoor stuff is just speed. If you see it, you take it, and you got to get there with speed. So it can kind of go either way with that. But I think the back door was there. I think you should have taken it. All right. So a little bit later in that drive, okay, now we've got a zero tech again. All right. So again, something a little bit different here. I like this. This is Geno in a zero. So what does this do? It's 3rd and 10, and you're moving Geno to a place where you've normally got Billings. All right, so you're really doing some things with your speed here. All right, now it looks like a 3-4 essentially, you know, kind of. I mean, you know, we got you know, these guys kind of floating around, but look, that you've got two stand-up guys on the outside, and you've got zero technique Geno, real athletic guy, and then you've got B gap defenders here. All right, you're probably best pass rushers, Dunlap, and Lawson. Again, using Lawson's talent in a different way. Now, talking about using talent in a different way, you know, having versatile guys defensively, look at Hubbard. Hubbard's the Mike linebacker. right? He's lined up directly behind Geno. All right. So he's going to stunt. He's going to go. So they do all sorts of things with Hubbard, right? We've seen him lined up everywhere in the defensive line. We see him lined up wide, stand-up linebacker, essentially. And we've seen him lined up as a Mike linebacker, too. And, you know, they've done that stuff with Lawson a little bit, too, lining those guys up in the A-gaps. So very interesting thing that they're doing here on third and 10, utilizing that speed. I mean, it's probably going to throw people off a little bit. You know, Geno's got a reputation. I realize he wasn't a big sack man this year, but he's got a reputation. They know. And... you know, that's going to occupy guys and allow Hubbard to come off here. Now, they also stunt Dunlap across, and then Hubbard tries to come out a little bit wider, and the tackle's able to pick him up there. But he's getting some penetration. I think this is a really interesting stunt. I think it's a really interesting use of personnel, sending guys from different angles here. All right, so... on the edges, they had Vigil and Sean Williams walked up. All right, Vigil is coming here, and you know he's a little bit late because they get the chip on him. Williams isn't really coming. All right, Williams, this is what I would call like a mug technique. He's really playing on that that back, and he's occupying the back, which is a good thing. You know, he's not allowing that back to come off and help out inside, but not really truly trying to get after the quarterback in that look. So again, something very interesting. You know, I think people are frustrated about this defense, rightfully so, 100% understand. I think there are some really interesting components in it, and I think as they go out, if they go out and get some more versatile athletes, guys that they can, you know, do a lot of things with, like they do with Hubbard, you know, like they do with Sean Williams, and kind of improve their athleticism overall on the defensive front, I think it's just going to get more interesting. All right. So some really, really cool things that they're doing there defensively. All right. So we'll go to the fourth quarter. Again, we're skipping the third quarter because I like my butt shots. All right. Want to see what the defense is doing from behind. All right, we've got a one technique here. Again, what is it? That's going to be an under front, okay, because in a one technique to the strong side, B gap is open. We got a player in the C gap here, you know, really playing in a five technique. We've got Lawson standing up on the edge. All right, we've got Tupou inside of him, right? And again, putting your dudes on the same side, Dunlap and Geno to the weak side. All right, now, Pratt's going to go on this one. All right, so Pratt is filling. Pratt is going. He is taking that thing right away on first and 10. All right, but he's going to come up short here, right? He whiffs. He doesn't get himself under control. So not a good look there. Got to get himself under control. Now, Vigil looks much better on this one. All right. With Vigil, he's got that open A gap, right? You step into the A gap, guy pulls around, all right? And he fills on that. Now, I want to see him use his hands a little bit more rather than his shoulder. It's going to help him see what's going on, help him get off the block a little bit faster. And then he's able to kind of make a second effort to make this tackle for a gain of seven. All right, so a little bit better out of Vigil. All right, again, use his hands. Maybe he can get off this block, make a play a little bit faster. All right. We also have a problem here. You know, a tackling issue on the edge from the safety. Bates rolls down, not his best position. All right. I talk about versatile athletes, putting guys in a lot of different positions. Bates really should be a deep field guy. I mean, he struggles when they try and do this stuff with him. And look, oof, that's bad. All right. I hate this technique, this form here out of Sean Williams as well. Stops his feet. Puts his head down. All right, putting your head down, number one, is dangerous. Number two, what happens? You miss tackles. You miss tackles all the time like that. All right? Move your feet. Keep your head up. That's how you tackle. Oof. All right. So now the good look right there. We're going to go to the next play, I believe. All right, so the very next play. Now, to me, this is essentially an underfront two. All right, it's a little bit of a change. It's a little bit different because instead of a one technique, you have a two Y. I mean, really, the gaps are the same. You got the A gap closed off. You got the C gap closed off. All right, so there's an open B gap here. All right, now, you know, in this case, they've got an extra guy over here outside. All right, Lawson's playing outside the tight end there, though. And we got Dunlap standing up on the other side. And we've got Geno Atkins as well. So, just taking a look at this, I think we're going to see a run from no gain here, all right, and good scrape from the backside by Pratt. We'll start with that. You know, I think it's a good job by Vigil. He's a little bit more concerned with what's going outside, all right, because that flow is taking him outside. He knows he's got Pratt from the backside coming to help him out in the A-gap there. So not a bad job there. All right, let's take a look at the front, how the front's holding. All right, they're trying to reach Dunlap. Dunlap just kind of bulldozes his way through there. He didn't even bother not getting reached. He just kind of makes it so they can't go outside. Geno fighting the reach, holding his gap. All right, and then from the backside, Billings coming across and actually getting the hand on, getting there involved in the tackle. So they credit that tackle actually to both Pratt and Billings. So pretty good job on that one. And then we're going to go into the next drive. This will be the last play we look at. It's going to be a three-yard gain for Sony Michel on this play. And it's going to be a Pratt tackle. So let's see. Again, you know, pretty tight-looking front here for the Patriots. They've got a tight end on both sides. They've got a wing, too. They got a fullback. So, you know, what's going to happen? You're going to have everybody tight. Let's take a look at this one, and we're going to focus right away on Pratt, who's the Mike linebacker right over the center. Excellent scrape there. All right, defeats, I think it was an attempt at a cut block there. No, actually, just a body falling. All right, so good job there by Pratt. Great job on the outside by Dennard. All right, look, this is the value of this guy. You know, hopefully they bring him back, but he is a linebacker who plays defensive back. I mean, he can do that's why he's so valuable as a nickel. To me, it's the way he plays in the run game is incredible. There aren't defensive backs that can do that. And look at, you know, he takes on this block from Landon Roberts. He keeps that thing tight. And you know, that allows Pratt to get in there and make the play and Dennard, you know, getting involved there as well. So that is an excellent play by Darquez Dennard. Now, Pratt's, you know, pretty well protected on this thing just because of the front, meaning there's not really a lot of guys that can get to him to block him, right? You know, this guy's not getting there. This guy's not getting there. They're going to try some kind of double team to get to him or try and get a Landon Roberts on him, right? But, you know, Roberts is going wide. So, really, they're just thinking they're going to get up to him. He's not really blocked. He just got to fight through the mess to get there. So pretty good job overall right there. I think we've seen some really good things out of Jermaine Pratt. Hopefully that development continues. Honestly, Nick Vigil, in my opinion, has played some of the best football that we've seen him play in the NFL. I've never been a huge Nick Vigil fan, to be honest with you. However, I think the last half of the season, I mean, honestly, when they got rid of Preston Brown and put Pratt in there, I think it made Vigil better too. So Vigil's a guy you can survive with. I do think I would like to see an upgrade of that position. I'd like to see a speed upgrade, but I think Vigil can and will be a part of this defense moving forward. And I think he's pretty versatile. I think he's a guy that they like to send a little bit, even though he's not a great pass rusher. So that will help his cause a little bit there. You know, overall, there's a lot of talent in this front from Dunlap. I think Geno had a very good year stopping the run. He didn't have a great year getting up to the passer. Didn't put up sack numbers. So I think people look at that and think he's on the decline. I don't think he is at all. I just think he was getting blocked, you know, and I think he just wasn't finishing on the quarterback. And I think he'll, you know, he's still one of the best interior rushers out there. So, you know, those two vets coming back, if we can keep Lawson healthy, we've seen Hubbard, all the different things that they can do with him. I think those guys really, if you want to call it a 3-4, those guys are kind of your outside linebackers you can do a lot of different things with. You can bump Dunlap to the inside sometimes. You can put Geno at the nose sometimes, which I think makes a ton of sense to get Billings out of there, leave Geno in the game, let him pass rush from the inside. I think that's a great opportunity for them. So this defense is doing a lot of fun things. You know, from a personnel standpoint, I think they've got a lot of talent. They've got a lot of they've got some depth if they can stay healthy at defensive tackle. With Wren, I think did some really good things. I think he can be very good. Glasgow's had some problems staying healthy. But you know, you got him in there too. Andrew Brown is a guy I like quite a bit. I would like to add another edge rusher, another guy that can kind of stand up. Some of the guys I'm thinking about in the draft are being called linebackers. You know, Zach Bond, from Wisconsin, Uchi from Michigan, I think are kind of guys like that. A lot of guys in the Big Ten, Coughlin from Minnesota, I think is a guy like that as well, who can relieve or come in if Lawson is hurt from time to time. This defense, I think a big part of this defense changing throughout the year was Lawson being healthy, Lawson being out there. You know, Lawson is a big part of this defense. And really, I think that helped everybody. You know, Carlos Dunlap, don't read too much into this, but Carlos Dunlap has zero sacks in games where Carl Lawson didn't play this year. Now, was Carl Lawson always on the field when Dunlap got his sacks? No, he wasn't. You know, there's not a direct impact there, so don't you know, take that to mean too much. But I'm just trying to say that has a big impact. So we need to have somebody who can fill in that role if need be. But I think this defensive front can be pretty good. You know, add a speedy linebacker, add a rush guy, you know, situational guy. And again, that's a guy too. Like I was saying, they're being creative already. Like, you can do different things with that guy. You know, if you take Zach Bond in round two, it's not just like he has to be Carl Lawson's backup, right? Put all those guys in the field, put a bunch of speed in the field, line them up in different spots. You know, defense doesn't know where they're coming from. So there's some really cool things that you can do with those guys. So I think if you do that, maybe try and upgrade the strong safety position, and put a guy in there who's going to be a little, you know, a little more versatile, a little better against the run, a little stronger. You know, I think Xavier McKinney, if he happened to slip, I don't know if he's going to, but if he slipped around two, that could be a guy, again, who can be involved in the front as well as the secondary and be a movable piece. So, look, this defensive front, it's not bad. You know, add a couple things to it, and I think it could be pretty good. And I think there's some exciting stuff going on and some reasons to feel good moving forward. All right, so that is it. Again, we'll keep coming at you with stuff throughout the off season. Keep looking at different things, and you know, hey, you got suggestions? You know, comment. I do look at this stuff. This actually, you know, the idea from this came from a YouTube suggestion. You know, apologize for not giving you a shout out, but of course, I wrote it down somewhere, and it's not in front of me right now. But you know, this is, let me know what you'd like me to look at. And, you know, if I can find some interesting stuff, I am happy to share it. So, Matt Manick, once again for Chalk Talk here on Orange and Black Insider, sticking with you every week. Go Bengals. Yeah, we're coming.